He keeps himself in trim by bending bars of iron. This bar is the genuine article which we tested before he began to play with it.
Beyond the bend. Beyond the bend.
All right, guys, thanks for supporting the show. I got a list of sponsors here. So first off, we got Harito Bending, harito-bending.com. You're going to use promo code CHEERS for 10% off. And a portion of that sale is going to come back to support the show. So I appreciate that. You know, everybody wants to be on the Harito cert list. I haven't heard a bad thing about the quality of his bolts. I can personally say that they're the same every time. Some really hard bolts on there. You got certs for every style, including snapping. He's also got wraps and t-shirts on there. So definitely hit up HaritoBending.com and use the promo code CHEERS. Next, we got Jed Johnson's Nail Bending eBook. If you want to check this eBook out, if you're a beginner, message me for the link, because if you use this link, a portion of that sale is going to come back to support the show. We also have the Gripito Trainer. This is an all-in-one grip training tool. If you use promo code Beyond the Bend, you're going to save 15% off of a sale of $90 or more. We also have Gil, former guest, BarrelStrengthSystems.com. Use promo code Beyond for 10% off. Gil's got a ton of cool stuff on there, including the flask. This is a pinch device. If you can do a body weight pull-up on this thing, you're going to get on a roster. I think that's pretty cool. All right. Lastly, we have Hard Life Fightwear. That's hardlifefightwear.com or .co.uk. If you want some rash guards or something like that for jiu-jitsu, they also got a bunch of other cool t-shirts on there. You're going to use promo code Beyond the Bend for 15% off. Also, if you want to get on a roster, an unofficial roster, hit up at Eat Chalk Get Big on Instagram. If you bent an 80D unbraced or two 60Ds taped together unbraced, you're going to get on an unofficial roster. The other thing is, if you snapped a horseshoe, I don't need a video. I'm keeping track of people who have snapped horseshoes just because it's a cool thing to do. If you've also snapped one into three pieces, hit me up. Or if you've snapped one laying down, there's only two people on that list, so get on it. Last thing, a couple new things coming up. I'm going to be putting out a feat of the week. This isn't really a challenge more than just like something cool to do week by week. It's going to be just like some athletic stuff mixed with some bending and snapping. So I'm going to be putting that out. And the only way to participate is just to do it and then tag me in the post and throw it up on Instagram or Facebook. The other thing is every month, I'm going to be doing a monthly challenge. We've had some really good participation lately. I want to keep that going. I have some really cool things planned. So I really appreciate everybody's support and looking forward to another good year. All right, thanks.
All right, Todd Gardner, welcome to the show.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
All right. First question I ask all my guests is, tell me about the first time you saw someone bend a piece of steel.
That's interesting. I was, I came to this not as a strength person, not as a, you know, quote unquote gym rat or a CrossFit person, but I was I was still a sideshow performer. And I was at the Southern Sideshow Hootenanny, where I saw Luella Lynn roll a frying pan. And it was kind of one of those where it was like, I saw it. I'm pretty sure I saw what I just saw, but I need to find out more about this. And and then watched her act where she opened up a horseshoe and, you know, bent a flat bar, 48 inch flat bar kind of thing. And it was like, yeah, I need to find out more about this. And got to talking with her. And then she in turn introduced me to her coach, now my coach as well, Hercules, or Chris Ryder.
I'm sure, right on.
I'm sure his name has come up many times in your podcasts or others. I certainly know who he is because he's been in the game for a while.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's where I started. Was seeing it on stage somewhere, and it's like, yeah, that's what I need in my life.
Nice. How long ago was that?
3 years or so, roughly.
Oh, okay.
Probably 3 years. Yeah, it's kind of interesting because where we find ourselves in the world right now in terms of COVID, I would generally speaking just be getting back from New Orleans from that convention.
Nice.
And I'd gone the last 3 or 4 years, and now it's kind of like seeing the memories, you know, like the Facebook memories or the, like, you were doing this, and it's like, yeah, I was in New Orleans and that was really awesome. That was that time that I could actually leave my house.
Yep. Oh, I totally relate. Just this weekend, a memory popped up for me. And last year, this time, I was grappling in a tournament, and I haven't done any of that in a whole year. Oh, and sure. It was just like, yeah.
Was this like crazy, or was it a different kind of, or was it something related? Or
jiu-jitsu. I'm a jiu-jitsu guy. That's my background. And cool. That found grip training through that, and then bending and the old time feats through the grip world. So what were you doing performance wise before you saw the strength feats?
Right. I was doing more like classic sideshow feats, like the human blockhead, where you take a 16 penny nail and or so, or, you know, various people do different things, but you actually take a hammer and knock it into your nose, or you do a bed of nails, or you lay on a bed of nails. And I was actually doing a bed of nails bench press lift, where somebody would step up on my chest, and then I had a board, and I would push that board up and then bring them back down, which is tricky. I mean, that's a lot of dynamic weight moving around. And I would definitely have them, like, they would put their hand on like another person's shoulder so that they would at least be balanced, but they weren't, like, clearly they weren't leaning all that weight, right? Like, it was just a balance thing, and do that. Although it's funny, once I started doing more strength work, I actually stopped doing that act as much, and it was no real reason, but it was just one of those funny funny evolutions of things. But I was doing that and like escaping from straitjackets and a lot of those kinds of old-time sideshow feats, which was pretty interesting stuff, and pretty interesting to sort of figure out how to make that enjoyable, or how to make that presentable to an audience. Another thing I've been working on is a sword swallowing, which is a whole other.
Okay.
And so it's like a lot of that kind of, why are you doing this to yourself? Dear God, why? But I can't look away at it.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you familiar with a guy named Alex Magala? I think is his name. He's a sword swallower from the West Coast, but the reason I know him is he's a really, really good grappler. He trains for Eddie Bravo, and I think he might be like a contortionist or something too, because he's like got this crazy flexibility, but right. He does all that kind of stuff. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, I was more flexible in my youth. I took Taekwondo, so it's like hearing Jiu-Jitsu, and like, and it's interesting to there's a lot of us that I would imagine come from a martial arts training. That kind of is the code, right? Like how we function. It's like, are you better than you were yesterday? Then you're doing well, it's not, can you beat that person? It's like, can you work on your mindset to beat your mind? And then, and so like, and that's sort of one of the appealing things I found about bending, but it's like a lot of that discipline or mental fortitude or even perseverance is definitely found in martial arts stuff. But
absolutely. And a reason why I, from personally speaking, from the outside looking in, my grappling friends are probably like, why is Cody like wasting his time bending a nail or rolling a frying pan or something like that? They probably see no connection because they don't know the history, right? So right. I think the fact that all of this in my mind is connected, because the old time performing strongman generally was a grappler, or a lot of times was, right? And then they also were like a weightlifter. I love the fact that the old time strongmen were all of these things, so it is very much at the root connected.
Right. I mean, there's something in terms of performance like different things that I do, right? Like I don't look at the straitjacket or the bending a 60 penny nail on stage or doing axe levering or laying on a bed of nails and all that, I don't look at them as like wildly different things. I look at them all as the way that you tell a story, and they're like they're the vocabulary you use to tell a story.
And, yeah,
you know, it's like, you know, like your work experiences or your grappling experiences, they're not mine, but I'm fascinated by yours. And so if you can sort of tell them or show them, and these are the things that come up, then it's like you've connected in a way, right? And
right.
Sometimes showing what's going on is much easier than explaining it. And so that becomes a bit of like the picture vocabulary, you know, a lot of it all connects, I think. And it's all very, like you said, with them being wearing many hats and doing all of the things, you know, I think that was their vocabulary. You know, they could wrestle, and, you know, it's like maybe they could bring a couple wrestling moves into like the idea of like, I'm going to look at this nail. No, I didn't get it. Okay, I'm going to go off the top rope and jump on this nail. You know, yeah. And amp up the showmanship because they're used to it in the wrestling and they're used to it in this, right? So
it's, totally,
it becomes different ways of presenting the thing.
Yeah, and I have to tell you, like, the story aspect to you performers was something I was totally missing, right? Like, I have to be totally honest, because as I got into this and I saw what people were up to, mm-hmm. and I made some progress myself, I was like, what's up with these dudes just bending 60 Ds on stage? Like, that's not right. That hard. There's like right. guys in right. in their shed doing like 10 times harder stuff. And then when I spoke to Mighty Mike and I spoke to some other guys, and now I understand like the craft of the show, you know, it's like a whole different thing. It's not just like about, oh, I'm way stronger than you. Like, so right. what? Like, it's right. like this,
right.
the message and all of that. And that made me like respect it so much more and made me that much more like fascinated into what you guys are doing.
I mean, one of the bits I'll do, and it's like during this pandemic, and I've been doing the COVID-19 capers, and they've been, you know, strength acts, but, or sideshow acts that incorporate like what you're talking about, the presentation. I mean, one is super simple. It's like, I'm drumming my fingers, you know, and it's like, I'm bored. You know, and I've got, and I usually use a text panel that it's almost like the old silent movies where, and it's yeah. like, that's the other character, right? So it's like, I'm bored. And it's like, well, do you have a deck of cards? You could play solitaire. And I was like, it's an excellent idea. So I take a deck of cards and I start to put the cards out on the table, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And I don't even get to the fifth card because the table's too small. Well, then it dawns on me, if I actually rip the deck of cards lengthwise,
yeah,
the vertical tear, well, then they're half as wide, so then I can get all of them on the table. Done, right? So that's, and it's the simplest thing, but people can relate because they've, I mean, pardon the pun, but they've dealt with cards before, and they know what that shape is, and they understand, like, oh, there wasn't enough room, so,
you know. Oh, that's cool.
So it's like, that's what I mean by vocabulary. It's like, oh, right, it's a strength thing, but it wasn't like, watch me do strong thing, it was necessary to the task.
Yeah. And that's neat.
In an unconventional way, right? Like, that's a weird problem to have with an even weirder solution, right? Yeah. Like, just get a table. Like, that's what you do. That's what most right. people do. Or play it on the floor. Or you could, you know, just rip the cards and go that way.
Yeah.
You could do that.
Yeah. Totally. I can relate to some extent because, like, I grew up playing in bands, you know, like mostly like punk and hardcore bands as a teen and a young 20s and whatnot.
Yeah.
And, you know, planning out the set list was like a thing, right? So we'd have to be like, oh, all right, like this one's going to get like the crowd to be real crazy. And like, you know, we would think about the presentation in a way. And that's like kind of, I can relate to like planning out the card right. feat, I
mean,
in a way.
Every, you know, I mean, I'm of an age where it was like a mixtape was a well-crafted thing. It wasn't like you
could
somebody, you know, it's like, here's my Spotify playlist. You know, like you
could
do that. But it was like, you know, like you had to know like, okay, well, this, not only like, this one is going to bring the emotion up and then this one's going to bring it back down. And then you had to also be realized like, wait, okay, I've only got 45 minutes on this side of the tape. How am I going to squeeze that one? You know?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Mixtape. That's great, man. all right. So you saw your friend that was doing the performance, the strike stuff.
Yes.
So tell me about your first introduction to actually trying some of this stuff. What was that like?
Sure. So I got in touch with Chris Ryder, and I said, hey, I'm interested in doing this. And he says, okay, then let's do it. And so, you know, there was I went and met him in, there was like in a coffee shop in, like, I live in Baltimore, he's in Pennsylvania. So
okay,
it's reasonable enough drive. Like I
could yeah
get out there. And so we met in this coffee shop, and there was like a deck of cards here, and just, you know, a horseshoe there and a couple of things. And it was just a matter of like, you know, we went to the back room of the coffee shop, and, you know, I left with sore hands and like blisters and all that. And, you know, I guess he'd gone to the coffee shop enough that no one thought much about it, but it was cool. The first time I ever did the nail drive, right, was out in the like outside of the coffee shop in this like little sort like town circle, you know.
No
like,
way.
And it was just kind of like, okay, yeah, this is how I'm spending my afternoon. This is great. but yeah, I mean, that's actually been really solid. It's like, you know, you meet certain people and it's just like, you know, we get each other, and Chris and I yep. are both, you know, like unabashed like cat dads. Like for the first, I mean, I had a roommate that had cats, so like when we would do the Skype lessons kind of like this, it was like, here's this cat, okay, here's this cat, okay, here's this cat, you know, silly stuff. And then and it was like, okay, cats are cool, but we gotta get to the work, you know, and do that. So
yeah,
so we just got along famously. But but yeah, that was my first experience in doing it, and it was addictive, right? I mean, I think you can identify with that. It's like,
sure,
right, you know, there's the idea of like right now I'm kind of working on grade 8 8-inch bolts, trying to get to that point, and it's like they're kinking a little bit, they're bending a little bit, and yeah. It's like, you know, with he and I, it's like, well, if it bleeds, we know we can kill it, right? And that's the, you know, the foothold that you get into. Or I was doing a whole stretch of Pro-Fit 60 penny 6-inch nails.
Okay. Yeah.
And those are not nice. Those are not.
Yeah.
You know, those are stout.
Yeah.
But it was like, you know, the day that I finally, because like I would get sometimes I would get them, sometimes I wouldn't. And so we did the thing where it's like you work backwards, like you bend it to 90, then you bend it to 100, then you bend it to 110, and then all of a sudden, you know, that 170 to 180 bend doesn't seem as like it's a big deal, but 180 straight, and you've done it, right? You've done the thing.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, so it was my first, you know, at first blush, it was like, oh, well, this is hard, but I like it. I like that it's hard. I like that I feel like I've accomplished a thing when I've done the thing.
Yeah,
I look back at like some of the stuff I've kept, and it's like, oh, cool, I've got my 1/4-inch carriage bolts just hanging up there, thinking that those are hard, but at the time they were, you know, and that's
a right.
reminder. Like everything becomes carriage bolts, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's. I was saying to a friend of mine, just like messaging with him a bit, that it's like the biggest takeaway from this stuff for me, I think, was not necessarily some dramatic jump in strength, but definitely a dramatic change in my mindset, because it was like, and it's, I don't think it's like, you know, I'm unlocking this like deep strength, or I don't know how much I think of all that. Like certainly the mind has a governor, right? And it's like,
yes.
And I know people kind of go hard with all of this, but I definitely know that like prior to whenever I started, like May or something like that, if you handed me a nail, even if it was the easiest, a timber tie, the one of the twist ones that are super easy, right? And like showed me how to do it, I don't know if I could have done it, to be honest, because I just didn't, I hadn't ever seen anyone do it. So that's part of the picture, right. I feel like, is like you see someone do it, then it's like, oh, okay. And I see that day to day, like on David Horn's Steel Shredder page, like people do something that pushes the bar, and then it's like 4 more people do it, boom, now the bar is raised, and then another person, and it's like amazing what just having it out there does. It's totally like blows me away, like how the level gets raised just by that first person doing it to something that was thought of as like undoable before,
right?
But
right. I mean, it's like how many people run the 4-minute mile or do the, what is it, the Fosbury flop, I believe, in like high jump,
where I'm not sure.
So basically, you know, like where you would do the pole vaulting or like the high jump, but there was a guy that did it in a very different way. Like most people were like diving over the over the bar, and he managed to like throw his legs up and kick it over, and it became known as the Fosbury flop, and it somehow was more efficient like better power transfer or something, and so everyone, like, that became the thing. There's I wish I remembered his name, but But there's a, and it's fascinating, and it's easy enough to find. It's easy enough to
Google. Okay.
But there was an Australian guy, well into his like 50s, I think, that didn't know any better and entered this road race that was like one of these ultra marathon things. And he explained that like his parents had like 2,000 to 3,000 acres and they were ranchers, right? And so he'd have to go and get all these sheep and he'd have to like run around and find them and bring them back and that sort of thing. So he was running all his life.
Yeah.
So there's an ultra marathon where it was like 500 miles or something ridiculous that, you know, and he won, which, you know, they were intrigued by because it was an old guy and he didn't have running shoes. He had work boots. And he, you know, and it was kind of like he wasn't running as much as he was just kind of like very efficiently moving along. But the thing that no one told him was that generally speaking, the athletes would sleep during the thing and he didn't. He just kept moving.
Oh, wow.
And right. So he finished like a day early, like shattered the record. And now everyone has to like everyone, no one sleeps anymore. You know?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Look up Australian road race.
Oh, cool.
And like old guy winning like Australian marathon or something, you know, it's
oh,
it's
wow.
Google, but it's a really, but it's exactly that thing, right? Like, hey, well, here's someone who just, it occurred to them that they could do the thing.
Yeah.
And over an all season, it's like, well, wait, if he does it, I can do that. Or if she does it, I can do that. Or,
right.
You know, and then, yeah, I mean, it's, that part is really interesting. I mean, I look at a lot of, you know, I look at your pages and I look at some of the others and it's like, I'm not at that level, but it gets me thinking.
Right, right. And it's,
yeah.
I also think, so you have the component of seeing someone else do it, right? And that's sort of like levels you up in a way. And then you have your own experience. Like the first time I did bend, we'll just use the 60D for the reference point or whatever, is like, okay, that actually worked. You know?
Like, yeah.
Like yeah. I possess the capability to do that. So it's like now, you know, I'm taking that same attitude to like whatever I'm doing, you know, like for the most part, strength related. I don't know if I'm taking this mindset and like venturing out to other things, but maybe I will.
I mean, I think so. I mean, in a way, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I think if you know, I'm not sure when you hit record, but talking about your podcasts then and now,
yeah,
right? Like you did it, you had the wherewithal, you've seen others, you've heard others, and then you'd like to do this, and then they continue to get better.
So yeah, that's a good example.
In no small way, I think you're applying that mindset, like, okay, I did it, it wasn't the cleanest, it may have taken 8 hits as opposed to 4 hits that it takes now, or whatever it is, but like, you've got this, you know, you've got these podcasts, a well-oiled machine, and it's that same, I'll just chip away at it and get better at it, and it's,
yeah.
It's the same mindset.
That's cool. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. But yeah, that makes sense. So it's like, yeah, so it's like, that's the, I was getting back to what I was saying to my friend. It was like, the biggest takeaway for me is just like, the mindset that it was like, I may be able to do this. Like, you know,
right.
Like,
right.
You know, I snapped this big bolt recently. And it was like,
awesome.
The guy was like, my friend, it's like, I can't even believe you can bend that thing. And I was like, yeah, a year ago, I probably wouldn't have been able to, you know, it's like, right. And it's not because I've just made all, not because I just made all these gains, you know, it's like,
right.
There's a major mental component to the stuff that we're talking about.
There is. And it's the mighty Adam, and once said, you know, there was something like, is there anything intrinsic about the nail that it doesn't want to be bent? And the answer is no. Is there anything going on in my life that would prevent me from making this bend? Well, that answer is no. So then I guess I'm going to bend this nail, right? Like just the checklist, is the nail's desire to not bend stronger than my desire to bend it?
Yeah.
Well, no, because the nail doesn't have any
desire
one way or the other. It's a nail. So like, that's an easy one. I do remember in a show, I happen to have this here, but it was kind of a funny thing where we had a photographer and it was like, you know, thinking of the nail as like having a being or having a spirit. I was getting ready to do a bend and the photographer looked up at their camera. I was like, I'm sorry, this is the better side. This is clearly the better side of the nail. And they're like, okay, you know, but yeah, I mean, we do get to think about those things, right? In terms of, you know, like, I don't think anyone but benders have given as much like angst, you know, assigned angst or personality to the things we're bending. You know, like no one's looking at you know, like, we'll just use it, a 60 penny nail when you can't bend it. It's like, it's that thing. It's a thing that looms in my mind. It's a thing I keep one in my pocket because I just want to feel that thing and get used to bending it. And then I'm like, are you nuts? Like, that's a nail. Like,
that's, yeah. So you said you're making some headway on a grade eight. Is that just for personal reasons to
what I'm gunning for? This is one of those like rest stop on the way to wherever kind of thing.
Okay.
Like, you know, it's like, okay, well, if we get to, like, I live in Baltimore, so if I get to, I don't know, Georgia today, or if I get to North Carolina today to go down to Florida, then it's a good day of driving. Like, that's a good stop, right? And I assume it's the same for you. Like, in our case, we don't have any real sense of what the end will be, because if we do, then we'll reach it and then we're done.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, a year ago, you couldn't bend this. So what's ahead for next year? Well, we'll see. But I really want to get to the red nail. I really want to have my name on that list. I want the t-shirt. I want that experience of going into a place and then opening the package and it's like, here, pick one of these, and then you do the thing. Like, I want that sort of, I don't know if it's pageantry, but I just want that kind of, like, importance about a thing, you know, and experience. And that's a good one. I think that's a good one, a good cert to have in your pocket. Like, I've done the red nail, you know, and people in this community are like, okay, all right then. Like, that means you put in some work, you know.
Right. So you got to check out Harito Bolts. That's my sponsor. When you do order, make sure you use promo code CHEERS, which will get you 10%, and that'll kick some money back to support the show. And you're going to want to save some, because shipping here to the States is a little wicked. But there's a lot. Harito Bending.
Bending and CHEERS.
Promo code CHEERS, yeah.
Got it.
So there's going to be a lot of nice stepping stones right there. The 4.8 is the beginner, and that's like somewhere in between probably a grade 5 and a grade 8, I'd say. Okay. But it's 5/16 by 7, so it's the size of a red nail, which feels cool. And then the A4, which is the step above, that's like getting closer. That's between like a grade 8 and a red nail, I'd say. And then the A2 is basically on par with a red nail. But it's stainless, so it's a little bit different bend, a little tougher to complete. But those are really good, and they're very, very, very consistent. So you and everybody out there should be ordering from Harito. Don't forget the promo code.
Right. Nice way of plugging. I enjoyed that segue where it's helpful. And, you know, and then like in the showbiz world, all of a sudden it would be like, we're doing this. And don't forget your Harito boats, kids.
Right.
Back to the interview.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so that's got to be just personal reasons that you want that red nail then, right? Because like the people in the show there's no difference between a red nail and a...
Right. And I think that's the case in most things, right? Like you were saying, you're a musician. Like there are certain songs that you played and you wrote or that like had everything to do with like personal stuff. But it wasn't like before the song, you're like, okay, if you turn to the page 6 in the primer that we gave you, these are every personal thing that was about this song, right?
Like, yeah.
It's good music. It's good music, and people aren't necessarily going to be in on the conversation that made it, or in on the motivation.
Right.
For that, it's like that is a, you know, that is a very tangible, you know, level. You know, it's like doing the red nail means like I've put in a good amount of work, and then that it's like it's a good platform to then go to anywhere else that I want to go to in terms of bending. I mean, I think we talked a little bit about it, like the performer versus the, you know, the I want as many certs as I, and I want as many accolades in that regard. And this almost sounds defeatist in a way, like I know I'm not going to be the strongest person out there, and I'm totally fine with that, you know.
But who can say that? I mean,
right, who can say that? But I mean, like, yes, I mean, we can look at the mountain, you know, and like,
sure.
Right. And it's like, I'm not going to be that dude. I don't really have an interest in being that dude. So, which is also very freeing though, right? Like if you take that off the table, like I don't have to be the strongest out there. Well, then how do you feel about this? Like, what are you wanting to do with it? And like what I was talking about with the cards or doing some of these other, you know, the chest belt chain break or the arm shackles or the wrist shackles, you know, I've done a thing where it's like I'll snap one of those and all of a sudden like look around and I'll put one of the pieces and I'll drop it in an envelope and I have a box of 10 of them and now it's a chain letter, right? Like I'm pretty excited to send a chain letter, you know? And to me, like to like have those stories or twists or turns, like that's who I am anyway. And this is just adds to it. And cool. And it's like to do the things and do them convincingly is how eloquently you tell the story.
Right? Yeah, right.
It doesn't matter how cool the song is or how beautiful it is. If you can't play the chords and the voice is scratchy and even in a punk band, like there's bad punk out there. Like you.
Oh, no doubt.
You know, when you hear it, it's not going to matter. So if you can tell your story well, and it's what you're like, what we're saying, like, I'm not going to blow through a whole bunch of red nails on stage and no one's going to be impressed. They'll be just as impressed with the 60.
Right, right.
It's just a piece of metal that's bending and they're like, whoa, you know, and they're going to be impressed with the wrench that's bending because they use the wrench, you know?
Right. I'm sitting here thinking that if you start busting out red nails on stage, that's like when the band wants to play their brand new stuff that they only care about and the fans don't.
Exactly right. Yeah, that's a really good way of saying it. Yeah, yeah. And everyone's like, do the cards thing again. Do the cards. Fine. Exactly. I'll stay with the cards. Yeah.
Right, right. Yeah. So what's your week-to-week training looking like in pursuit of the G8 and the red nail?
So what I've got is I've kind of made myself a table, you know, and every day it's like I use grippers to, you know, like 300-pound, 350-pound grippers to like close and close and hold so that, you know, the finger pull across your palm, the back of your hands, right? That's getting stronger and that helps. If you want to bend the thing, then bend the thing, right? So I'm working on, right now I'm still doing a lot of the Pro Fits and grade fives. And it's funny how that changes too, right? Like the grade fives used to, 7-inch grade fives used to be like driving me nuts because it was like widening that, you know, that space. And then the 8-inch, it's like, you know, dialing that in can be a thing.
Definitely.
It used to be too, like it was always here for me. I was like, you can go here. What do you mean? What?
Yeah.
You know, and like now I can just fall into position. Like that's a subtle change, but yeah. So I'll do the grippers, do, you know, some reps of the grippers. I'll do some, you know, grade five or alternating days of grade fives and Pro Fits and just keep at it. You know, and then I think I'll take every couple months or so, I'll take a week off just to let the hands like stop freaking out, you know? It's like pen and write things again. but that's generally it. I'm looking into doing some other things to ramp it up, like some kettlebell squats and different things. Because if you want to get stronger, apparently the secret squats. Like, yeah, but no, I want to get this kind of stronger. Cool, do squats. No, but I want to do squats. Right.
So, yeah.
So I guess I got to do the squats.
Yeah, definitely. How about other strength stuff that you're doing during the week? Anything these days, or just mostly the bending?
I mean, there's that, and then I've been maintaining. We'll go back. One of the things that I did a couple of years ago, which I think was super helpful, was I did a video series called 365 Days of Strength, and these like I would put up on Instagram. Under my stage name, Hot Todd Lincoln. This is again. Let me turn and tell the crowd. But Hot Todd Lincoln, and my tagline is the old Jewish man trapped in the old Jewish body. That's what it, where it's at. But I would do every day I would do a video, and it was like the rule was it had to be done that day, like done and put out that day. And it was it was a trick because some days like I was traveling or some days like I was at an event, so all of a sudden I brought stuff with me. Like I was at a baseball game at one point and like managed to like bring in a bolt and then all of a sudden bend the bolt and like had a friend film me because I had to do the thing that day.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was really cool because it forced me into like from a performance standpoint, like they're not all going to be gold, right? And
right.
I think also like from a bender standpoint or, you know, old time strength standpoint, like every bend, every lift, everything is not going to be a personal best. There's going to be some days where you feel like you backtracked or you lost ground on something. But the thing is, the doing of it, the continually doing it is where the strength lives.
Sure.
And so like the first one, like you said, like the, you know, like, please don't look at my first podcast. Don't. You know, like my first strength video was like rolling a frying pan in like 10 seconds. And it was like, it was a 10 second video. Like you started and it was over and there was nothing about it. Whereas now it's like, oh, well, there's a bug on the table. Here we go. I'll just use this pan. Rolled up, ting, ting, and then just toss the pan. And that's, that's where it works. But then, so I finished that. And it's funny because I was like, all right, I've done this whole thing for a year from January 7th to January 7th. And that was a lot. Like, and I finished in 2020, right? And then I was like, whew, I'm not going to make any more videos for a while. That was a lot.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden March rolls around. It's like, well, we have these couple weeks where we'll probably be in our homes and,
right.
and things will go back to normal. And I was like, all right, you know what? I'll do some black and white old school things where I think the first one I started off and I had the plague mask and walked in and did a kind of a creepy thing. And then, ripped a deck of cards or something. And then, 118, 19 videos later, we still find ourselves like in our homes. And
right.
Yeah, so like, that's work too, right? Like you have to do the feat and do it in a way that you're not, that like looks convincing or looks like you can do the thing. So that's what I've been doing to keep busy, both physically busy and mentally busy, right?
Right.
I can make this thing and okay, this will be really cool. And I, it's like, oh, this one really cracks me up. Or there was one, I took a 11 inch flat bar, 11 inch by half inch, quarter inch flat bar. And this model friend of mine was very hotsy-totsy, like walked across and I was like waving and didn't give me the time of day. So I bent the thing and, so it looks like a magnet at that point. And I
okay.
And then all of a sudden she like comes back.
Oh, nice.
And all of a sudden she's against the thing and like, oh, what happened? Oh, hi, And then the text panel was like, wait, what happened? And it's like, well, I made a chick magnet. It's, it's dumb, but it like delighted me to make those things and it's to put those together. Yeah. And spent way too much time like trying to make the little streams of electricity actually like flow the right way and not like I'm holding it here and then the bolts up here kind of thing.
Yep. Gotcha.
Yeah. But I think that helps on both fronts, right? It helps on the strength front to keep going. It helps on the mental front because it's like, how am I thinking about the things that I'm doing? Like how can I apply them? Or how can I use this to, like one of the things I want to do, I've just started doing the, like across the bridge of the nose, half inch run.
Okay.
Which is pretty much like being hit in the face with a volleyball, right? Like that pain level is like, right? And I know that going in. And so it's like, all right, if I do one of those a week or something, like I'm just going to have like a permanently achy nose. I got it. but it's like, I kind of want to figure out a way of like making that into a coat hanger or something where it's like, I bend it across and then just put my jacket on that instead of the side. Or...
Yeah.
So it's like, again, because my mindset is like, the thing is impressive, but it's even more impressive if it just kind of flows into a story or into a narrative.
Yeah. I like that. It definitely seems like you're putting a lot of thought into it. What was it like when you were first starting to add the strength stuff into the show and for how long were you doing like the other stuff, the sideshow stuff you were doing before that?
Stuff, I was doing for like a couple of years. Everything is kind of like, it's been like pulling a thread out of the sweater and then all of a sudden ending up with the big ball of yarn, I started doing the burlesque and shows because someone, like, you remember, what was it called? It's like you check in all the time, Foursquare, like you check into a place and you become mayor of the place. It was like an online, like a social media.
I think so. Yeah.
But then I became mayor of this place where they had these variety shows. So it was changing into something else. And so they asked me to say a few words. And so I said a few words and someone's like, you need to be the host of our troupe. And I was like, oh, okay. So I did that. And then as I was hosting, I was like, it'd be really nice if like, someone's like costume falls apart before they hit the stage or someone's music isn't starting, that I could have some things on me to do, and so I was starting to do like the blockhead or the bed of nails or things, or just to have in my pocket. And then I started getting interested in that, and then seeing the strength stuff, like, so it's just all kind of been building in that way. But when I first started incorporating the strength stuff, I think a lot of it was definitely the here's this horseshoe, I'm going to bend it into a heart, right? And it's like, until I figured out what I wanted to say about it. Where do you live, actually? Where?
I'm in upstate New York, like 2 hours north of the city.
Gotcha. So, being in Baltimore, there's a thing I do with a horseshoe that still makes people rumbly. But I grew up in Indianapolis, and I was like, so when I was 12 or 13, I woke up and we had a football team. We had the Indianapolis Colts, and it was really cool. And I said, you know, and so like I hold up the horseshoe, and that makes me think of the fact that we had the Colts, right? It's an obvious thing. And then I was like, you know, the old thing, like, what do April showers bring? They bring Mayflowers, right? April showers bring Mayflowers. And what do Mayflowers bring? They bring the Colts in the middle of the night from Baltimore, because it was Mayflower cooking. And everyone in Baltimore remembers, like, Pepperidge Farm remembers, and Baltimore remembers Mayflower trucking. And so I'm like, you know, but look, you guys won more Super Bowls than the Colts have. And you know what? I'm coming around. In fact, let me show you. And then I'll bend the horseshoe around and make it hard. It's like, yeah, I love our Ravens just as much as you do. It's
cool. Oh, nice.
So it's like, it's, you know, for a certain crowd, like it works out, you know?
But
so I started to try to figure out ways of making that work, where the nail drive became like, have a, you know, sort of an old style circus banner that I'm trying to hang up, and it's not staying on my little table, right?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, but I have this nail. The hammer would be nice, but oh well. And I'm dab my head with a washcloth, and hey, you know, and I drive it in. But but it's all under the guise of like, I'm going to do this really cool balloon trick. It's gonna be great.
Okay.
But I'm looking for a spot to put the balloon, so I like put that there so that I can hang the banner. And it's like, wait, because there's the, and it's like, no, I got this. And I drive the nail, the balloon pops, and it's like, oh. Mm. And then hang the banner over the front, like it's a shroud, like let's just cover that whole thing up.
Nice.
Right. And so like trying to like we were saying, but like, yeah, early on it was very much like, I can bend the 60 penny nail because this was considered difficult, you know, and your ticket into like performing at a circus or a carnival, if you could bend a 60 penny nail, then you had a job, you know.
Yeah.
You're considered a strong man, and so we're gonna give that a whirl right now, right?
Gotcha.
Or axe levering. That's one of the silliest, you know, silliest acts I do, which seems funny, right? Like that's a hard one to do.
I don't think
it translates. Like people don't realize how difficult a feat that
is. No, no way.
But then I pretty much have them rolling their eyes at the end because of the dumb stuff I say about it. And then it's like, all right, moving on. We can move on to something else. So it was, you know, short, quick, small feats, and then, you know, adding in, of course, the blockhead and the other straightjacket and other things. So it was a good mix.
Did you have any experience like hosting other stuff, or
I just sort of jumped right in.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I mean, it's like, it's kind of like this stuff, right? Like you get better, you make mistakes, you figure out how you can be more inclusive, or you can be more aware of the things you're saying, or you start reading a room and you start picking up on things that you can use. And, you know, I mean, it's a weird thing because it's really hard to practice hosting.
Yeah.
Like you and I can like work on great eights all day because that is the thing. We see the thing, we can work on the thing, but every crowd is different. Every room is different. Every show is different. So it's like, you know, you just kind of like do the best you can on that one, and maybe you pick up a few things you can carry with you to the next one.
Definitely. And now when you're starting out implementing the strength stuff, how did you avoid it becoming like, I guess the word, like maybe adversarial is the word, right? Like how did you stay away from being like, look how strong I am, you weakling, right?
That's a good point. It's a very good question. What I ended up doing was like, all right, like, so back in the days of the sideshow, in the early days of the sideshow, you had men of strength and you had people doing these things. In fact, if you could bend a 60 penny nail, not unlike this one, then you would have a job for the summer. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to attempt to emulate that because I'd like to have a job for the summer. Let's see how it goes. Right. So it was like challenging myself to do the thing.
Yeah.
Everyone knew, like, why would I bring it up there if I couldn't do the thing? Right.
Yeah.
But it's like in a way, but yeah, I've been on the other side of that. Like, you know, I mean, at a whopping 5'6", I'm not scaring anybody, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's not like I was 6 foot and shrank, you know, it's like, I've never been tall. So I get the idea of being, bullied or pushed at. So I don't ever want to be in that position on the other side.
Right.
And I really like the notion of like, we can do these things, or like a show or a demonstration is a we. It's inclusive.
Yeah, yeah.
It should never be, I can do this, you can't, so, F you or whatever. It's like, it's much more of a, it's like, I've really worked hard in this. And the same kind of focus I'm using for this, you have for the things you're doing, and you have what you're doing. And like, we can accomplish great things, and you can accomplish great things. And that's really cool.
Yeah, the empowering angle seems to be a good way to go about it. And the way of like not doing it makes me think of the film Bending Steel with Chris Ryder and Chris Sheck. He's trying it out in the bar and he's struggling.
I'm not a contortionist, but I pulled myself in a knot watching that. It was so uncomfortable. And I've talked to Chris about that. Because obviously I'm working with the same coach and when I've gotten a new feat under my belt or something, I'll look and I'm like, man, I can't wait to like tell people at a bar how much stronger I am. He's like, shake his head. I mean, it's a joke. I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
But it's just like, but yeah, that is definitely, yeah, that is something. That is a,
yeah, that was a great
to win friends or influence enemies.
Yeah, it was a great scene, especially when they're watching the footage back and Chris Ryder's like, yeah, you can't be doing this.
Yes. Yeah. And it was not even I just realized the computer was unplugged and I was about to off here. But yeah, like that was definitely, there was no like, well, you can try that. This is like a, no, you are not doing that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I'm really developing so much respect for what you guys do, because it's like, if you were to just tell me, like, before knowing any of this stuff, it's like, convey to this group of five people that you're stronger than them, like, period. If you just gave me that task, likely I'd just be like, boom, bet you can't do it, right? And that just seems to be setting yourself up for like a bad show or the situation maybe where you hand some savage in the crowd the thing and he actually does it, and then you got to deal with that. Mighty Mike talked about that,
right?
Like
right.
Where he was passing it out and then like somebody, forget where he said he was, that actually could bend it, and then he had to deal with the reaction of that too.
Yeah, and there's always a plan. I mean, you should always have a plan B or C or thing, but as a thing, like, what if a way of showing that you're stronger than them is that you teach them, and that you accomplish something that they couldn't accomplish even 5 minutes before.
Like,
that's a huge way of showing strength. And one thing, I always talk about, like, if there's with friends or things, it's like, okay, I can be chatting, as we were clearly finding out. There's the standing on one foot version of something, right? Tell me everything I need to know while I'm standing on one foot, because it limits the time that we can talk about it, right? And I think that as far as shows go, an audience will always remember how you made them feel more so than what you did. That singer of that person, whatever. It's like, they were a lot of fun. Now, will they remember every note? Will they remember that somehow like something fell over, or like, probably not. They just remember having like a good feeling after they left the show.
Right.
Right. And so, cause like there was something that was interesting. I was talking to somebody and they're like, oh, that time you did blah, blah, blah on that video. And it's like, I haven't done that. I'm wanting to do it. I'm wanting to get up to that point, but I haven't done it yet. But in their mind, because I kept hitting personal bests or doing that sort of thing, like, I was already at that point. So like the witness, right? The witness can see things that aren't there or that sort of thing. But they get a general feeling of what kind of person you are, what kind of thing. And the beating on my chest and kicking sand in someone's face, like, the Charles Atlas type thing.
Yeah.
It's not my style. And I don't find it enjoyable to be, because I have that secondhand embarrassment for somebody if they are embarrassed, right? I don't want to. I'd much rather empower one of the things that I did with the straitjacket is I've added the arm shackles. I'll put the jacket on, put the arms through, they get wrapped around. So I actually have to like pop that chain before I can get out of the rest of the jacket. And what I like doing is I really like empowering the person, like putting me in the straitjacket, particularly when they do that fifth strap, you know, like there's the bottom strap that it's like, you know, and I let people know. I mean, have you ever had to like pants altered or things or a tailor where it's like dress left or dress right, you know, like that's a real thing. And it's like, so I let the audience know, it's like, well, apparently my volunteer here has made sure that tonight I'm dressing left. Good to know. Yeah. Okay, you know, it's funny and it's not, it's like, but yeah, it's like, I give them all the credit and I, you know, and I'm really like, you know, and I'm trying to get, it's like, man, you really put me in this thing. Wow. Okay. You know? And
yeah.
It's like, I want to celebrate that they, you know, had the, like, they're not performers or that they had the bravery to come on the stage and do the thing.
Right.
And also there's something I learned recently. It's like, why would you ever bring up, why would you ever ask an audience to clap for a volunteer when you're not clapping for them? Like, everyone cheer. It's like, well, you should cheer for them too, because they just, that was their part of the show. They're
sure.
As much of it as you were.
Yeah. That makes sense.
But yeah. So I definitely, that's the way I avoid adversarial, either tell the story or like we're in this thing. The audience is a we, you and the audience are a we, we're in it together. Let's have a fun thing happen.
But yeah.
It's something, an experience that we didn't have before.
Right.
And that there's no reason. I mean, in comedy, there's a thing known as punching up or punching down.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's like in comedy, you wouldn't say like, nice wheelchair, you know, like that's a terrible thing to say, you know.
Yeah.
But you would say like politicians, am I right? You know, like kind of a
sure
thing, because like politicians are always on everyone's list, and they are a position of authority. They feel like you're punching up, and you're unified in like that thing, right?
Definitely. Yeah. That makes total sense.
Yeah.
So what's been like what the best show that you can remember? What's been your favorite performance so far?
So there, I mean, I can remember bits of things. Like in that Southern Sideshow, Hootin' Anything, there's a gentleman by the name of AJ. He is an old-time carny. I mean, through and through. He tells a story of how he was working with his father in Minnesota. And it's easy to think like old-world accents. So like, I'm working with my father. I'm in Minnesota. We have this thing set up. You know, and it's this whole thing.
Yeah.
And he says that, you know, that his father worked on the, like, he throw the baseball or the softball at the milk bottles.
Yeah.
And it's like, so he set up this thing, we're doing this, and this tornado hit the circus, like hit the carnival. And he's like, and I mean to tell you, those milk bottles didn't move an inch. And it's funny because it's like, yeah, we all know that scam. You know, it's funny. But
yeah.
So I'm doing a thing and I do a card trick with a card tear involved. And it's like, oh, I can't find it. And so I have to do these things. So I can't find your card. And all that. So at one point I asked for, I'll go for half credit, like a book report that is late, you're only going to get half credit. So I was like, I know I didn't find it, but maybe I can get half credit. And so I rip the deck of cards and everyone's really quiet. And in the, you know, which performers love quiet. It really gives them a chance to regain their thoughts and take stock of the situation, because silence is awesome. But so in the silence, all of a sudden I hear, that's not easy to do. Like AJ was like, I just watched the kid rip cards. You guys should be cheering for this, is what he's thinking. Like, that's not easy to do. And everyone laughed and then started cheering. And then that kicked up the rest of the act. So that was,
oh, nice.
That was pretty wonderful. Or there was a point of which I hadn't been able to do this. And then I finally did, sort of just out in general. Like, I worked at a haunted attraction. You know, I'd stand outside and do sideshow stuff and do some strength stuff and bring people over. But it was blowing up the water bottle.
Okay.
And it finally went. And there might have been like eight people, but all of a sudden it just was like bang. And it was like in this sort of a walking mall. So there were a lot of buildings. So it was a really loud bang. And then all of a sudden people turn and like they're like all different places, but they realize what just happened. They're like, woohoo! Like it was just like, fine. I'll take my eight people applause. It's great, you know.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there was any. I mean, like the various hoot shows have been great. There have been some online shows that have gone really well, or like
sort nice.
Of trimming down that card trick to make it work. I mean, I did a show in Toronto where it was the Something Strange Festival, and what was really interesting. Is that I had like a pillowcase over my head. I was going to be like let out in the in the straitjacket with the things, and they're like, we knocked your cards over. Is that a problem? And it's like I can fix it. Like, I am completely, you know? And my friend who was there was like, wait, Todd, yeah, I think I can fix it for you. And I was like, I told him, all right, like, this is what you need to do. He did the thing. But it went really well. Like, there was a, did like all the feats worked like the way they're supposed to, which is always nice. And then the sideshow stuff worked as well. Like, I do a mousetrap on my tongue.
Oh, wow.
And it was like, and there was a kid that did it before, but like, put this mouth guard in, right? And then it was like, this is like what I'm talking about, using the room or what happens. And I said, look, you've seen the mousetrap on a tongue before tonight, and it's a really difficult, it's not a difficult thing, but it's a really potentially dangerous thing. And he used a mouth guard, which it's a smarter man than I, but I'm gonna make this more extreme because I'm American and we have a shitty health plan. Here we go, right? And like, and all the Canadians were like, oh, it's funny because it's true.
You know? Yeah, nice.
So like those kinds of things, yeah.
But yeah.
There's been a lot of moments in shows that have been really great.
That's cool. All right, so we're gonna start wrapping up. At the end, I do a rapid fire series of questions. This is gonna be favorite thing to bend. We're talking material here.
Right now, I mean, I think for me, it's always like the newest achievement. So like right now, as much as it hurts the schnoz, I'm really digging the half inch round.
Nice.
Cool. Yeah. And then hardest thing. The 5/8 horseshoe. It's just flat. It's gray. There's no really decoration, and it's just nasty, and it feels great to actually knock it out.
Hardest thing to bend for you, material wise.
Right now, we're looking at the grade eights. You know, just putting a slight wobble in them. You know, grade eight.
Yeah.
And it's like, and that's frustrating. I hate it because it's like it's just right there. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty sure it's like stealing my lunch. It's like running up my credit card bills. Like, it's just aggravating me on every level.
Oh yeah, for sure. Strongest bending style for you.
Double overhand, without a doubt. Okay. Double overhand, you know, tucking it under.
Yeah.
I think it's gonna get to a point where people are gonna accuse me of bending it with my beard because it just goes
up. Yeah. weakest bending style. Do you play with the other styles at all?
I have. Double underhand is not particularly strong. And then also
reverse.
Yeah. Those aren't
the brutal.
It's brutal, and I just haven't done them enough. Like, I do that when I want to make an S bend in the carriage bolt. Like, that's about the only time I'm doing it, but to get that little one started. But
yeah, something outside of strength bending, this whole world that we're talking about that you enjoy doing.
Playing ukulele, of all things.
Oh, right on, cool.
Yeah, and in fact, a lot of the videos that I make, I'll play the soundtrack. And it's
nice.
And I think it's one of those. You know, you don't expect it to be, but it actually is it's a nice workout, right? Like, you do these big motor skills, and then all of a sudden the small motor skills keeps it all limber. So
yeah, that makes sense. All right, what's the one feat that's gotten away so far? Something that you've attempted and you haven't been able to complete? The grade eight or something else?
Grade eight for sure. I'm trying to close in on two decks, ripping
nice.
Simultaneously. I mean, there's the ever elusive red nail. That's coming. I mean, I think it's always, there isn't like a feat because I think everything is stair steps, right? Like, it's another
one.
So it's like, I can bend 60 and I can bend a pro fit 60, but like, but I can't quite get the red nail yet. So like, short bending
you
know, has its things, or routinely ripping through bicycles is not quite there yet. You know, that one's a little uglier, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Who's the strongest person that you know? This is open-ended. This could just be like your grandpa or something like that, or it could somebody we all know.
You know what? We'll do it this way. Just because yesterday was her birthday, my mom. She is one of those that can stretch a dollar, can make things work, always provided, found herself in a bad situation when I was around, remarried my stepdad when I was two, and as just she's like a tough as nails, you know. She goes, as an example, you go into a hardware store and you need six things on your list and you're not sure where they are. So you have your one person that helps you, and they would help you find all six things. My mother would walk in the hardware, see six people standing around. She's like, okay, you go help me find this. You help me find this. And like, and she takes over, you know, and it's
nice.
And it's pretty great. So yeah, I would have to say, and you know, a lot of things she's accomplished, you know, she never went to college. She didn't, you know, but like mainly through tenacity, she got, you know, she's put herself in a good place and put our family in a good place and loves my dad and loves me and is supportive and
yeah,
asked more than that, you know?
That's great. Yeah. A couple of people have said their mom. That's cool.
Yeah.
It's actually my wife's birthday yesterday too.
Oh, check that out. Yeah. Look out for the Pisces. Yeah.
All right. Best piece of advice you're ever given. This could be about strength stuff or life in general.
I think we touched on it a little bit, but like people are gonna remember how you make them feel more so than what you did and what's
a good one.
That's a good one. But you know, the simplest thing is don't be an asshole. You know, it's like you can make choices and you can it's like sometimes yes, you want the last piece of pizza, but if somebody's really hungry, just give them the last piece of pizza. There'll be more. Like,
yeah,
no reason for you to like elbow your way through. You know, and you by being kind or by being, you feel better, and then things come back to you in some ways. So don't be an asshole.
Totally. Yeah, it's great advice. All right, funniest reaction a person has had when they find out you spend your time bending nails.
Ooh, that's a good one. Let me think about that one for a second. Nice reaction.
I mean, I guess it could just be in general when people find out what you do. Be the bending.
Somebody asked me one time, they asked me why it was that I walked on so much glass, because I'll do glass walking as well, which is a weird question, because they're like, usually it's like, is it real glass? Yes. Does it hurt? Yeah. Because like there are times where my foot bleeds and all that, and it's like I always chalk that up like, oh man, that one really hurt. I guess it was a double pane window at one point. But they'll say something, but this one was like, why is it so much glass? And I told her, I came up with a really beautiful lie, which is always fun. I said, as a young man in my 20s, I dated around a lot and dated this one girl in particular, and it was great until it wasn't. And I took her picture and I threw it down and I stomped on it. It was a picture I had in my dining room. We'd eat together, even when we couldn't eat together. It was very romantic, but that went in the pile. And then in my 30s, I was married, and then that didn't go well. So all the bridesmaids' photos, all the groomsmen's photos, all of that, it went into the pile, right? And then now that I find myself in my 40s, I just walk around on glass, trying to feel anything. And like her reaction was like, I punched her in the gut. She was just like, she was like, oh my gosh, do you need a hug? I was like, no, I am divorced and things haven't been great all the time, but no, I'm kind of kidding. And I was like, do you need a hug? And she's like, I might. So like we hugged it out and it was a very
funny.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. But
yeah. I mean, in terms of the strength though, I think, you know, cause like what we were talking about, like I'm not being like, let me slide through the door sideways because my physique is so big. So I think, I think just like when I do like the 48 inch flat bar, there we go. That's the funniest one. I was in a thing called Dr. Sketchies. Which is a drawing, people will get to watch these burlesque shows and draw the performers. And so I had the over one shoulder leopard print, kind of Mighty Adam era costume.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, strong man, I get it. And then for these like quick poses, I just basically bent the thing over and then went through the whole series of doing the double scroll. And then once that was done, I'm holding it up and I'm like, you know, looking at it like it's a mirror because it's this perfect round thing. But like everyone's like, there was an actual audible like when I took the steel and bent it over my leg. They probably felt like I was just gonna hold it this way and like hold steel, you know, like not do anything with it. But the fact that it twisted and then I like just dropped it on the stage and it was like that clunk 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 of metal. People were just like, whoa, like it was like very much like time drawings, and they're like, oh crap, time drawing. I got to do the thing. So that was cool.
Nice. All right. In closing, who's someone you'd like to see me have on the show?
If you've not had Coach Ryder, that would be great, obviously. Let's see.
I have not. I got it. I put in a good word for me there.
I assume you've had Don Cummings on the show.
Yep.
Yeah, I met Don at one of the at a picnic of sorts where I met Slim and various
people. Oh, right on. Cool.
And that was cool. You know who would also be interesting is Uncle Mike. Do you know Uncle Mike?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think he'd be interesting in terms of like working with Dennis Rogers and knowing Slim it would be a really interesting kind of history or his perspective as being like a septuagenarian doing this stuff.
For sure.
As young guys, right? You know, like it makes sense and we get so caught up in like, oh man, I did that grade eight today and I totally crushed that grade five. But the fact that he's like putting a nail through lumber at 70. I mean, it's
unbelievable.
And it's like, not only is it, I mean, it's unbelievable on that level. It's fantastic, but it's also like, if you're not rooting for the guy, then you really need to check your soul, you know, like,
sure. Yeah.
That's the absolute opposite of the, let me show you how strong I am adversarial. Yeah. That's like, come on, Mike, let's see you do it. I want to be in an audience. I want to watch Mike trot out and drive a nail through the thing. And I will be up and out of my chair and clapping so fast. It'll be crazy.
Definitely. Yeah, that's a good one. I got to reach out to him.
Yeah.
All right. Tips and advice for beginners, let's say benders, and if there's guys out there that want to go down the performing road. So tips and advice for performing.
Right. So the benders, beginning benders, be patient with yourself. Like, you're going to have a lot of gains early, and those gains are going to slow, right? Like, your technique will improve, but the resistance of materials becomes more, you know, to go from a quarter inch bolt to a timber tie, it's not a huge jump in resistance.
Yeah.
Right. And all of a sudden you have two materials you can bend. Man, I'm a bender because I can bend these two things. Right?
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden, like when you're talking the Rito bolts or the red nail, or, you know, going from the red nail to the gold nail or the yellow nail to the red nail, like those are huge jumps.
Oh yeah.
And so like to be patient, and work on your technique and believe it will fall, because it will, like, even if it's just isometrics,
yeah,
you know, like it's going to bend a little bit. And every time you hit that thing, you know, it's like you're adapting your muscles. You're giving your muscles a signal, like this needs to happen. And so like, be patient with the process, trust the process as far as benders go. And with performers is like, find your voice. Like, who are you as a person? And would you like to hang out with that person on stage? Would you like to meet that person? You know? I mean, like, I don't like to hang out. Like, I was in a chat the other night where there was two people who were writers, and they were almost like, well, like, how long's your book? Well, how long's your book? And so I just I reached over and I pulled out a tape measure and said, save yourself some time. Because it was silly, right? You know, it's like, it doesn't even matter what the books are about. Are you just talking about number of pages? Like that's crazy. But it's like that. And it's like, I clearly don't enjoy that. So I wouldn't be that performer. Right.
Yeah.
It's like, this piece of steel is really difficult. And they're like, okay, that sounds like steel. And yeah, I think there was one video where I put like a magnet. It's like, yes, it's steel. And yes, it's real. Right. And plunk, put the magnet on the nail and then bent the nail, you know?
Uh-huh.
So it's a convincing thing, but like, they don't care if it's like a, you know, a show 60 or a ProFit 60 or something. They just like to see, you know, it's the monster truck thing. They just like to see cars being smashed, you know?
That's it.
But yeah, so like, find your voice. Find the person that, be the person that you would be your best self, like who you'd want to meet, right?
Yeah.
And put that out there, you know? If you are interested in what you're doing, then the audience would be interested.
Yeah,
there's a difference between being interesting and being interested. Like, oh, I'm so interesting, watch me do this thing. Well, they're interested,
right?
But not. But all of a sudden, if you're like trying to figure out the thing and you flex it and doesn't go that way and you do this, all of a sudden you're like, ah, and you get it. Then they get the, your interest is infectious, right? So
yeah, totally. All right, where can people find you on social media? And yes. If you have a website.
Hot Todd Lincoln, mainly right now, Instagram. I'm sort of in the rebuilding of a website thing, but Hot Todd Lincoln on Instagram I post a lot of these, the COVID-19 capers, as I refer to them,
nice.
On there and other strength things. I'll also, you know, the notes from class, I'll do photographs of, you know, the various, you know, the pile of destruction that I've made that day.
Gotcha.
And but yeah, so that's the main place, Instagram, and yeah, that'll get you there.
Right on. All right. That's it, man. Thanks so much for being on the show.
It was a pleasure meeting you. Thanks so much for having me.
You too. We'll do it again someday. Maybe we'll have a couple performing guys on at once, and you guys can
have a round table. That'd be great.
Yeah. Cool, man. All right, Todd. Have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye.